You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
We are jumping in, as Anna said, into our new series for February called Better Now, The Blessing of Doing Relationships God's Way. And tonight, we're talking about dating.
Woo!
Woo! Ooh! Now, dating, let's be real. It's messy. It's hard. And dating is also a relatively recent thing in human history, just really the last, like, 100, 150 years. And the Bible doesn't talk about dating. It talks about marriage, singleness, and a lot about our relationships. And so we have to lean on God's word for principles, and we have to pray to the Holy Spirit to help him guide us. We are saved by grace, so it gets messy. And so for me, probably one of my most embarrassing stories, like when it comes to like boys, when I was single in college, one year I worked for a summer in Colorado, and I worked at the YMCA. And everybody who worked there had the same polo shirt, but it was a different color based on what department you were in. So I worked for housekeeping, which basically meant I cleaned like hotel-style rooms all summer. So one morning, my friend and I go do Bible time at a cafe on our like campus, and I'm getting my coffee, and the guy who works in the cafe, sorry, I'm out of breath, new symptom that I'm experiencing, constantly out of breath. So the guy who's working at the cafe kind of like comes up next to me and is like doing the coffee thing, and he turns to me, he's like, hey, oh, housekeeping. I've always wondered like what it was like working there. And I don't know why, but I just decided I will be the helpful Honda person to this guy, the most helpful person to tell him about my job. So I tell him, you know, it's not that bad. Like, you have to do a lot of cleaning, but it's good. You work in partners. But then I didn't want him to think it was too easy. So I was like, but yesterday I had to clean the worst toilet that I've had all summer. And I don't know why, but for like literally 2 minutes to this guy I just met, I'm talking about poop. And like everything that I had to do to clean this toilet. And like when I'm done talking, he's like, all right, thanks. And he kind of leaves and I go sit down. I'm like kind of happy because I was like, I helped this guy. And my friend turns around and looks at me and is like, Claire, I'm pretty sure that guy was gonna ask for your number, but all you could talk about was poop. So it happens. It happens.
Dang, that's pretty embarrassing.
Thanks, bro. You go.
But not as embarrassing as my these guys want to hear it. Okay. So when I worked at summer camp, I had a crush on a girl who also worked at summer camp, and we eventually dated. And for the life of me, I cannot stop accidentally getting her hurt, and I will.
Actually, crazy.
I will explain that more. So basically, like literally, first week of camp, I didn't even go to summer camp as a kid. So I'm like super excited to be at summer camp. I'm ready to go all in. The boys who I did cabin checks for really wanted to pull a prank on the girls' cabin. And I was like, not only is that sick, I am going to be a part of it. Wow. So we decided to go up to the girls' cabin and like scratch on the doors and windows and make bear noises. And they were like losing their minds. They were like freaking out. They were screaming for help. And this girl who was on staff that I had a crush on, she like ran up the hill to try and save them from this bear that doesn't exist. And she stepped in a pothole and sprained her ankle, and it was like it hurt her for the rest of the summer. Like it caused her like long-term damage. And then okay, well, it gets worse. So then later in the summer, I thought it was a good idea. Like, oh, I'll be like flirtatious. I'm going to like pick her up and throw her in the pool. Exactly. She was sick at the time, and she ended up getting an ear infection from the chlorine in the pool. And so she had to go to urgent care because she had so much ear pain. Stop writing stuff down. What the heck?
don't take notes on
this.
Yeah,
stop.
Don't take notes on this.
Take notes in like 5 minutes, okay? And then at some other point during the summer, I was carrying like a big like wooden cross. I was carrying my cross. And I like turned around really fast while she was staying next to me, and I smacked her in the back of the head with it. So, yeah, that is my most embarrassing dating story. I'm surprised she even wanted to date me after that. But
that was
yeah.
a miracle.
Yeah, it was a miracle. Yeah.
Wow. Well, hey, we share that with you because, yes, I get to serve as our high school pastor. Gavin's our amazing high school coordinator. Gavin's in an awesome dating relationship that he'll talk about later. I am so happy that I married Blake and that we get to do life together.
And with child.
And with child and with baby. Praise the Lord. But with all of that, we are not experts. We don't even think we're that cool. We don't think that we have it all together. Literally, like, our only credentials for tonight is we love God. We love our significant others. And we love you, students. And really, we know that what's best for you and for us is living lives that honor God with every part of it. And so, yeah, we're sharing with you tonight our 6 tips to date God's way. And
yes.
Now you can take notes.
Yes, now you can start taking notes. I'm loving this like call and response right now. Okay, all right. So my first tip for you guys is dating is not about what you can get out of a relationship. It's about serving like Jesus. And so we see this in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 7, where it says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And so in these verses, God is commanding us to, in our relationships, humble ourselves before the other person, serving them in any way we can and showing them God's love. And I think a really big temptation for us when it comes to dating is that sometimes without even realizing it, we can desire a relationship for all of the wrong reasons. And those reasons being like what we can get out of the relationship. Because I think if we're honest, like having a girlfriend or a boyfriend feels really good. And there's a lot that we can get out of that relationship for ourselves that feels good. For those things being, I think the 4 main things would be attention, status, companionship, and pleasure. And I want to tell you guys that if you're dating someone purely for any of those reasons, it's only going to end in pain for you and probably even more pain for the other person. God wants you to be in a relationship with someone who pushes you closer to him, not someone who can just make you look good or feel good. And I think if you're unsure about whether you're in a relationship for the wrong reasons, I'd encourage you guys to read through and pray through Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24, which says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I think this verse is really important when it comes to kind of discerning whether we should start dating or whether we should date this person, because when we have a crush on someone, I feel like we can get kind of like tunnel vision sometimes because it, you know, we feel like we're falling in love and we really want to be with this person. But I would encourage you guys to pray that prayer and ask yourselves, am I in this for the right reasons? Do I want to date for the right reasons? Or am I just in this for attention or status or companionship or pleasure? And on your seats, we left some cards for you guys that have some questions on them, additional questions that you can kind of like ask yourselves or pray through that I think will really help you like kind of discern if you're making the right decision. But I also wanted to look at John 15, verses 12 to 13, which says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And I think this perfectly encapsulates the point I'm trying to make, which is that God commands us to love others the way he has loved us. And he doesn't love us just for attention or just for status or companionship or for pleasure. So why should we? Why should we want to love someone just for those reasons? His love is selfless. And Jesus, when he was here on earth, he served us with love that was intentional and unconditional. Therefore, we should want to date someone and serve them with the same kind of love, not just for what we can get from them.
Amen. Amen. And out of that love comes our second tip, which is to communicate clearly, kindly, and directly. And we know that doesn't initially sound like dating advice, but if you think about it, pretty much all of our relationships come out of conversation, of connecting and talking with one another. And the Bible takes our words very seriously. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. I want you to read that again. The Bible's saying that every time you open your mouth, you have an opportunity to bring life or bring death. And the Bible says that we will face the consequences. We will eat the fruit of whatever words that we speak. And relationships are no exception for us using our mouths to communicate clearly, kindly, and directly, really communicating with love. And so here are just some examples that we thought about to apply this. If you like someone and you've gone through praying through it, seeking mentorship, and you're like, okay, yeah, I want to tell them, then go tell them directly and kindly. If someone reaches out to you romantically and you are not interested, tell them immediately and kindly and directly that you're not interested. If someone tells you that they're not interested, thank them for listening and respect whatever it is that they've shared with you. Even when you're in a relationship with someone, if they have hurt or upset you, tell them, hey, can we please talk? Because the other day, honestly, I was hurt when you said this or this happened. I'd love for us to work through it together. I really think we could save ourselves and others so much stress, anxiety, and misunderstanding if we communicated clearly, kindly, and directly. Now, I'll admit that I never valued clear communication in like a future spouse until Blake and I started dating. And a couple years ago, Blake and I had been friends for several years. Our relationship, we started getting closer, and at church on a Sunday, one day at church, after church, not during church, he said, Claire, I'd love to hear more about like this experience that you had. Can we go on a date? And afterwards, I was so grateful that he used the word date. Like there was no question, there was no confusion. Like, Gavin, what do you think he just wants to hang out? Like, you know, like, is he interested?
Definitely
is he not?
And
so it was clear. And I'm so grateful and I value that Blake brings that to our relationship. And through all of this, never gossip or speak unkindly. It will only lead to more pain for you and others. The Bible commands us in Ephesians 4, verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Asking friends to communicate for you, communicating only online or text or gossiping after something happens, it's never as helpful and real as face-to-face conversations. And I know that these are difficult and nerve-wracking. And so give yourself the grace that God is with you in those moments. You can pray in those moments. You don't even have to respond right away. You can say, hey, can I have a minute to think before I respond? Our point is you control your words. Nobody else chooses what comes out of your mouth. Jesus spoke in love, clearly, kindly, and directly, and he can teach us how to do the same. And this skill will not only help you in your dating life, but in every relationship you'll ever experience.
All right. Tip number three. Dating should draw you closer to Christ, not away from him. I've only dated a couple of people in my life. I've dated a couple of girls who were Christian, but in high school, I also dated a girl who wasn't a Christian. I think I've told this story at HSM a few times before. I've definitely told it with our life group, but through that relationship where I dated a girl who wasn't Christian, the biggest thing that I learned is that if you have a relationship with Jesus, it's not really enough to date someone who just says they're a Christian. You need to date someone who pursues Jesus on their own and pushes you to do the same. And to show the importance of this, I kind of wanted to compare the two stories of like that relationship in high school and the current relationship that I'm in. With this this girl that I dated in high school, I decided to date this girl, who didn't have a relationship with Jesus. The other big lesson that I learned is that when we date someone who doesn't make Jesus their number one priority, we can start to idolize that person and make them our number one priority in our lives rather than God. This girl didn't really care about God and, she didn't really care about God, and she was the number one thing that I cared about. And all I really wanted to do was like make her happy. I was always worried about like if she was doing good I just wanted to make her happy all the time. So I ended up falling kind of far away from God because of that. I didn't really care about him anymore because my whole identity was her and her happiness. So when we ended up breaking up, I kind of ended up being the most anxious and depressed I've ever been in my life, because I didn't really know who I was without her. I had left my relationship with God behind. So dating this person who didn't love Jesus pushed me away from him and not closer to him. When Claire and I were kind of talking about this message and I was talking to her about this story, I feel like she summarized it in such a beautiful way where if we're thinking about dating someone who doesn't love Jesus, something to kind of think about and reflect on is that even if that person was the greatest person in the world, even if that person was the kindest human being ever and was so perfect in our eyes, that person will never fully understand the most important thing about me, which is my relationship with Jesus. I think 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 kind of talks about this. The second part of it says, "What fellowship can light have with darkness?" I feel like what this is saying is that, how is a relationship with someone who isn't a Christian going to work if there's this third person in the middle, Jesus, who we love more than anything? How is that going to work if the other person doesn't understand who Jesus is and doesn't understand my relationship with them? I kind of want to compare that to my relationship with Caroline, my girlfriend. But I want to start by saying, like, we are in no way perfect. I don't want to compare our relationship in a way that's like, you know, this is the ideal relationship. Like, we're so perfect. Like, we both go days without reading the Bible. We are not perfect Christians. We both sin and fall short. We've also kind of had like a hard year, both of us, like with just things that have happened in our life where, you know, we've just been frustrated with hard things happening, and we've had hard questions for God about our lives and our futures. But at the end of the day, we both know that we both love him, and we both want more of him every single day. We both crave his love and his guidance and to be transformed by him every single day. And we want that for each other too. I think the biggest way that we do this is that her and I both are very busy, on Saturdays, which is kind of our day where we can kind of have like the whole day together, her and I set aside time to just go to a coffee shop, get some coffee and some matcha, and do a Bible study together. Writing down matcha. We go to a coffee shop and we just do a Bible study together because it's really important to us that not only are we growing on our own, not only are we do we have our own spiritual disciplines on our own, like praying and reading the Bible individually, but we want to do that together. We want to be in the presence of God together. It's by far the highlight of my entire week, the more that we've done that recently, not just because we're growing in our faith together, but because I'm dating someone who doesn't just say she's a Christian, she lives it out. She wants a relationship with him, and she prioritizes those times together where we can be with him and grow in him together. So date someone who prioritizes Jesus and who wants to spend time in his presence with you.
So good. So good. And our tip number 4 is don't fall into isolation. Something that I say every year around this time and this talk is relationships in isolation usually lead to devastation for them and others. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 10 say, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. And this is true whether you're single, dating, married. All month, we're talking about relationships because living on our own is detrimental. We weren't designed for that. And when it comes to dating, nobody likes when two people start dating. I feel this in high school, as an adult. Like, nobody likes when two people start dating and then you never see them again. You're like, how are they doing? Like, we don't even talk anymore. We don't talk anymore. Sorry. Then these two people are off on their own in isolation. And then at first, like, it's really fun. You're like, oh, I have this new boyfriend, girlfriend. I'm so excited to spend time with them. Eventually, the feelings kind of wear out. And you're like, where are our friends? And you're like, whoa, they forgot about us. But really, like, you kind of led yourself into that isolation. And relationships are a two-way street. Both parties have to put in effort to nourish the friendship. And at every stage of life, HSM, you should never do life alone. You should always have mentorship as well as friends in your community, even if you're dating someone. And so we have like two sets of questions up here, some for when you're dating, some for when you're single. And they're basically the same questions. And as you're reading these, if the answer to any of these questions is no, you should reach out to someone tonight for the sake of godly community and mentorship. HSM, if you're struggling with something, especially around dating, if you are objectifying someone instead of seeing them as made in the image of God, if you're struggling with viewing pornography, if you're tempted to cross boundaries with someone, if you're struggling with gossip and lying, fighting those things on your own is like going into battle without your army, like going into battle without just by yourself. God has given us each other to walk through these things. And sometimes with that, we only reach out when we need help. But the truth is, reaching out in good seasons will help you grow and will help you prepare for tough seasons. And with this, my HSM advice for dating is usually involves the 6-month friendship rule. And that basically means if you're interested in dating someone and you're in high school, our suggestion is to be friends with that person for at least 6 months before you start dating. That gives you time, like Gavin shared, to pray through your intentions. That gives you time to kind of see, like, hey, are they really pursuing the Lord? You get to see how they treat you and others, even on bad days. And as friends, you get to keep your relationship in community. And that is so much better and honestly so much fun for the couple and the whole community. So don't fall into isolation.
Yes. All right, my last tip for you guys is don't date potential, date reality.
Oof, oof.
I need you guys up here every time I speak. Okay, this is good. Okay, So what I mean by this is don't date someone for who they might become. Date them for who they are now. And I was up here talking about dating like basically exactly a year ago. So this will sound familiar, but we're about to talk about missionary dating and situationships again. So listen up.
Yes.
All right. So I think those are two of the biggest things that, two of the biggest traps we as Christians can fall into, specifically related to this point, is missionary dating and situationships. So, first of all, what is missionary dating? This is dating someone who isn't a Christian with the hopes that one day they will be, or that you will be able to lead them to Christ through your relationship. And this does not work. I promise you guys, it does not work. Ask me more about, I already shared about my relationship in high school. It did not work out well at all. And I would love to share that story with you. I'm a prime example of this. I was convinced I could make her a Christian, and she ended up making me less of a Christian. So, and this whole concept of missionary dating and not doing that is actually biblical. Going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, it starts by saying, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common, or what fellowship can light have with darkness?" Now, you're probably wondering, what is it talking about with being yoked? It does not mean getting buff at the gym. We have an image I'd like to show on the screen. You guys might, if you were here last year, you might recognize this, but a yoke was a harness used by oxen and other animals to ease the work of hauling like a heavy load. So they'd kind of like go on two oxen and they would pull like a heavy thing together. And so being unequally yoked is almost like an ox and like a chicken being like strapped up to this heavy load together. It's like one's doing all the work and the other is not. It's doing nothing. It's too weak to do anything or help at all. And this is a great image of why missionary dating doesn't work, because then you're not only bearing the responsibility of your own relationship with Jesus, but you're bearing the responsibility of the other person's relationship with Jesus. And so if you're spending all your time not only trying to love them and date them, but also trying to convince them to commit their life to Christ, but also you're trying to draw closer to Jesus yourself, you're just going to burn out, all for no guarantee that this person's ever going to come to know God or love you the way that Jesus loves you. You're dating them for their potential, not for what they are, and it's going to drain you, I promise. It drained me for sure. And then secondly, situationships. So with situationships, if you're in a relationship with someone who flirts with you and treats you like you're dating, but never is honest about how they really feel about you or doesn't actually commit to dating you, you're probably stuck in a situationship and you deserve so much better. Also, side note, if you're on the other end of that and you're the one that is leading someone on into thinking you want to date them and treat them like your girlfriend or boyfriend when you don't actually have any intention of dating them, that is not Christ-like. But mainly focusing on the other end of things, if you're the one being treated this way, you deserve someone who is going to engage in an intentional and committed relationship with you just like Jesus does. Jesus doesn't lead us on. He doesn't deceive us. He doesn't choose to love us in some moments and then push us away in others. I think a great rule of thumb question to ask yourself, not just if you think you're in a situationship, but with missionary dating as well, or even if you're in a relationship with someone where maybe they have like this really bad habit that you feel is damaging your relationship, ask yourself, would Jesus treat me like he or she is treating me right now? Or would Jesus treat her or him how I am treating them right now? Because if the answer is no to those questions, you are not aligned with God's plan for your romantic life. So don't pursue someone for the hope that one day they will finally return your feelings or be ready to date you, because that's not where they're at right now. And you're going to waste so much time wishing you and this person were more than just friends. And that the idea of being with them romantically will end up becoming an idol in your life. So date reality, not potential.
And finally, amen. Amen to that.
Thanks, guys.
Finally, keep your priorities. And the Bible tells us our priorities should be master, mission, then mate. And we've been encouraging you in this principle basically all night. Here's what Romans chapter 6 says, starting in verse 19. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are all slaves to something, and that's an intense metaphor, but it's the one that the Bible uses to describe how we often live according to our desires or how other people think that we should live. And if you are a Christian, the most important part about you and your life is Jesus and your relationship with him. And so we are to prioritize Jesus as our master, the mission that he's given us to love him, follow him, and help others to do the same. And after those priorities comes the people we do life with, family, friends, and then our relationship status. But it's important to keep that order. And what's awesome about this truth is that it means your life has purpose, meaning, and fruitful relationships, even when you're single. So if you're dating, if you're single, press into your relationship with Jesus, your purpose in him, and then the family and friendships he's surrounded you with. And what's amazing is when we keep Jesus as our number one master, we focus on our purpose in his mission, and then we love our mates. What's amazing is as you lean into Jesus's love and purpose for your life, you actually become more loving and your relationships become richer and deeper. The Bible actually says that marriage will end on this earth. There's no marriage in heaven in eternity with Jesus. Marriage has an expiration date, but eternity with Jesus does not. So we would be wise to fix our eyes on Jesus and eternity. Wherever you're at right now, it's our prayer that if you are thinking about dating, that you apply these to your life. If you are thinking, I'm going to date when I'm 30, we hope that tonight, which we support, we hope that tonight you begin to develop some convictions of how you want to approach dating. God loves you, and he wants to use your relationship status for your good and his glory. We love you. It's time for Life Group.